Can we bring all the participants in?
They're recording loud entry.
Great, thank you, James. Good morning, my name is Eric Sklar. I'm president of the California Fish and Game Commission, and this is the May 14th meeting of the Fish and Game Commission. You have been placed on mute if you're an attendee. When it is time for members of the public to speak, you will receive instructions on how to indicate you would like to speak on an agenda item. Speakers will be unmuted individually. I'm going to ask Deputy Executive Director Rachel Valenti to share a few technical notes, please. Rachel.
Good morning. If you are participating on the Zoom webinar and calling in by phone, please make sure that your phone number and your Zoom webinar are linked. If you logged into Zoom first and used the Call Me option, the linkage happened automatically. If you called in separately using another option, please find the mute button at the bottom of the screen and click once on the arrow just to the right. This will bring up a menu where you can select switch to phone audio. You should see a dialog box with a four-digit number. On your phone, press pound, then the four-digit number, and then pound again to link your phone audio to your Zoom webinar. Please note, if you are joining by phone only, staff will identify you by the last three digits of your phone number. If you are having any technical difficulties with the meeting, please contact CNRAIT@resources.ca.gov. That's the preferred method. Again, CNRAIT@resources.ca.gov. Or if you need to, 916-653-8486. Both of those, that number and email address are available on the public agenda. I'd also like to note that Zoom has a question and answer feature. That button is at the bottom middle of your screen, and attendees can use the Q&A feature to ask staff questions related to the meeting. Please note that this feature cannot be used to message commissioners directly and is for meeting-related questions only. Please do not use the Q&A feature for technical assistance. Instead, use the email and phone number that I just mentioned and on the agenda. And Zoom's chat feature is not enabled during this meeting. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Rachel. Really appreciate it. So now I'm officially calling the meeting to order and asking for a roll call from Sherry, please.
Good morning. President Sklar?
Here.
Vice President Murray?
Here.
Commissioner Hostler-Karmason?
Here.
Commissioner Burns?
Here.
Commissioner Silva?
Commissioner Silva? You need to unmute.
I'm here.
Okay, great. We hear you now. Thank you, Commissioner Silva. So we have a quorum and the meeting may continue. I'd like to introduce Executive Director Melissa Henson-Miller to talk about, to make introductions and talk about the meeting process.
Great. Thank you very much, President Sklar. For members of the public, if you have access to the internet and are not planning to make a public comment, you may listen to the meeting via our regular webcast by visiting the commission website at fgc.ca.gov. We ask that only those who plan to make public comment or who do not have internet access to listen to the meeting participate by phone. This year is the 150th year of the California Fish and Game Commission working in partnership with the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. Our goal is the preservation of our heritage and conservation of our natural resources through informed decision making. These meetings of the commission are vital to achieving that goal. So in that spirit, we provide the following information to be as effective and efficient toward that end. We are operating under the Bagley-Keene Open Meeting Act, and these proceedings are being recorded and broadcast. In the unlikely event of an emergency, please note the location of the nearest emergency location, emergency exit at your location. items may be heard in any order pursuant to the determination of the presiding commissioner, which in this case is President Sklar. And the amount of time for each agenda item may be adjusted based on time available and the number of speakers. We will ask how many speakers we have before taking public comment, so please be prepared when your name is called. When you speak, please state your name and any affiliation, and please be respectful. Disruptions will not be tolerated. Time is precious, so please be as concise as possible. If you'd like to receive meeting agendas and regulatory notices about those subjects that are of interest to you, please visit the Commission's website, again, fgc.ca.gov, and sign up for our electronic mailing lists on the right-hand side of the Commission's website. If you're interested in requesting a regulation change, those requests must be submitted in writing using a form that's available on our website, petition to the California Fish and Game Commission for regulation change. And it's also available from staff via email. Feel free to contact us if you need a copy. And then just a reminder to please silence your other electronic devices to avoid any interruptions during the meeting. Thank you very much, President Sklar.
Thank you, Melissa. I'd now like to ask if there are any public officials on the call. If there are, I'd like you to raise your hand right now, just if you're a public official or a tribal leader. Everybody else, please do not raise your hand or it will confuse things. You can do that by raising the Zoom, on the Zoom screen, the raise your hand feature, or if you're calling in by pressing #2 only one time. If you press it twice, you'll take your hand down again. So please do that right now. And then James, let me know if any public officials have raised their hand, please.
Looks like nobody raised their hand yet.
Let's give another just a couple seconds. And if nobody does, then we'll go on to the next item.
Still nobody.
Okay, then we're gonna go on to public comment, the item #2 on the agenda. Public comment is for any member of the public to comment on any item not on the agenda today. So if it's on the agenda, please hold for those items 3, 4, and or 5. If you'd like to comment during public comment, please raise your hand by using the raise hand button on the Zoom feature or pressing again #2 on your phone. Again, only press it once, you will hear your line has been unmuted. So, and you may also need to unmute yourself if you muted it on your phone. At this point, I see one hand up. We're gonna wait another second or so to see if anybody else raises their hand. James, will I see raised hands of people who phoned in as well as Zoom on the list there?
Yes, you will.
Okay, great, thank you.
And President Sklar, could we also ensure that we have approval of the agenda and order of items from the commission?
I apologize for missing that. Yes, real quickly, we'll do that. I'd like to consider approving the agenda and the order of items. Anybody like to make a motion on that?
I'll make a motion, President Sklar.
Is there a second?
And I'll second.
Motion made by Vice President Murray, seconded by Commissioner Hassler-Harmison. All in favor, please do a roll call, please.
Vice President Murray?
Aye.
Commissioner Hassler-Harmison?
Aye.
Commissioner Burns?
Aye.
Commissioner Silva?
Aye.
President Sklar?
Great, aye. The agenda is approved, and we're going back to public comment, item #12. I see only one member of the public, Phoebe Lenhart. James, will you please unmute her, and Ms. Lenhart, please go ahead. You'll have 3 minutes.
Allow me to talk now.
Good morning, Ms. Lenhart, you're unmuted, please speak. You might want to check your unmute button on your phone. Ms. Lenhart, are you there? Phoebe Lenhart, you're unmuted, but your phone may be muted or your computer may be muted. Give her just one more second to see if she can figure out. I'll tell you what, Ms. Lenhart, if you can hear, please call the number that was given at the beginning of the broadcast. I can give it to you again right now. It is, if I can find it here. I'm sorry, Melissa, here it is. 916-653-8486. And maybe a member of our staff can help you figure out how to get, and we'll come back to you. I'm sorry that you weren't able to speak right now, but we will allow you to speak if you find a way to connect, okay? That moves us on to item #3, Central Valley Sport Fishing. Staff lead is Ari. Ari, would you please lead us off?
Thank you, President Sklar. This item is to consider adopting proposed changes to Central Valley Sport Fishing regulations. The notice hearing was at the December 2019 meeting in Sacramento. There were discussion hearings in February and April of 2020. The commission generally adopts regulations every year to bring state law into conformance with federal fishery management goals for Central Valley salmon. And I believe we are going to hear some more information from Roger Bloom, who is acting fisheries branch chief for the department.
All right, thanks, Ari. Can you all hear me?
Yes, we can.
Thank you. Good morning, President Sklar, commissioners, commission staff, Director Bonham, and department staff. Following up on what Ari said, we're moving forward with the same proposal that we discussed at the last commission meeting with proposed bag limits for the Lower American, the Feather River, and the McCollumy and Sacramento River, with a daily bag limit of 2 fish, a possession limit of 4 fish. Other additional changes include extending the salmon fishing season on the Sacramento River between Deschutes Road Bridge and Red Bluff Diversion Dam from August 1, which was previously ending on December 16th, and we're proposing to extend that to the 31st. We're also requesting and recommending the removal of some outdated regulations pertaining to the take of coho salmon on the Lower Feather River below Oroville. And also we're recommending prohibiting fishing at some flood control structures that have the tendency to pool and aggregate federally listed species.
Great, thank you very much. We now want to invite public comment. If anybody would like to comment on this item before we have, unless any commissioners have any questions, I'm sorry, for either Roger or Ferrari. Okay, hearing none, I see that we have one person asking to speak, Mark Smith. Please unmute Mark, and Mark, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yep, we can. Please go ahead.
On behalf of the Northern California Guides and Sportsmen's Association, I want to thank the commission and the department and all the staff that work on this issue again. Again, several years ago, we approached you to have this sort of interim commission meeting so that the adoption of these regulations could be done in a manner that allowed for more time and communication. Since the April conversation, we've actually been able to communicate with the department twice. And again, we appreciate the way that the commission has moved forward in allowing this additional time for discussion. We remain in support of the same comments we made in April. The 2-week extension on the Sacramento River above the Red Bluff Diversion Dam, thank you very much. We agree with the option for 2 on the Sacramento and the decision to take 3 fish on the Feather River. Would appreciate the commission considering and adopting those regulations today. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Mark. And I don't see any other further public comment. Ari, what's our next step here, please?
It would be to make a motion.
Okay. Would somebody like to make the motion? Or is there any questions or comments first, please?
No, I will make the motion, though, Eric.
Great, thank you.
The commission, I move that the commission adopts a negative declaration prepared pursuant to California Environmental Quality Act, adopts a proposed project, and adopts the proposed changes to section 2.35 and 7.00 and subsection 7.50B, 5, 68, 124, and 156.5.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, can we have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Burns?
Aye.
Commissioner Hassler-Carmison?
Aye.
Commissioner Silva?
Aye.
Vice President Murray?
Aye.
President Sklar?
Aye. Thank you all very much. The motion passes unanimously. Next, we're on to 4, Klamath Sport River Fishing. I'm sorry, Klamath River Basin Sport Fishing. Ari, please go ahead.
Thank you, President Sklar. This item is to consider adopting proposed changes to Klamath River Basin sport fishing regulations. The notice hearing was in December 2019 in Sacramento. There were discussion hearings in February and April of 2020. Every year, the commission adopts Klamath River Basin sport fishing regulations to bring state law into conformance with federal fishery management goals. And once again, we will go over to Roger Bloom with the department.
Thanks again, Ari. Can you all hear me?
Yep, we can. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to the 2020 proposed Klamath regs from the department. First off, a proposal to increase the daily bag of possession of brown trout to 10 and 20 respectively. Currently, it's a 5 daily bag in possession of 10. In addition to that, increase the minimum fall run Chinook salmon adult size designation to greater than 23 inches in total length. Previously, it was greater than 22. The Klamath River Basin quota range currently is, as I spoke to at the last meeting, estimated between 1,296 and 1,356. We're working within that range, but currently, based on the limit and no closure effect, we believe we'll probably be at the low end of that quota at 1,296. Either way, it doesn't change what we're proposing in regards to the daily bag and the seasons. Currently, the daily bag limit we're proposing is 2 fish, no more than 1 adult, greater than 23 inches total length, and a possession limit of 6 fish, no more than 3 adults, greater than 23 inches in length, with the season August 15th to December 31st on the Klamath and September 1st to December 31st on the Trinity.
Terrific. Thank you very much. Any public comment on this item? At this point, I don't see any, but please raise your hand if you'd like to comment on this. Again, I see Mark Smith. Mark, we'll let you go ahead while we wait for anybody else. You have 3 minutes, Mark.
Thank you, President Sklar, members of the commission, director, staff. Again, want to thank the department for the additional time to have this discussion and the consideration of the additional fish into the quota. We are hopefully optimistic that perhaps, the commission can discuss a slightly higher quota, but we will say that we do support the proposal to delineate the adult salmon from 22 up to 23 inches. This is something we've discussed with you repeatedly. There still is a discrepancy in the way that measurements are made, total length versus fork length on this particular system. It is an ongoing conversation that at some point we would like to reconcile with the department. But for right now, we support the proposal and thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Mark. Commissioners, any questions or comments? Would somebody like to make a motion?
I'll make the motion that the commission adopts the negative declaration prepared pursuant to the California Environmental Quality Act, adopts proposed project, and adopts proposed changes to subsection 5.87 prin F and 7.50 prin B 91.1.
Great. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made by Commissioner Hassler-Carmison, seconded by Commissioner Burns. Can we have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Hassler-Carmison.
Aye.
Commissioner Burns?
Aye.
Commissioner Silva?
Aye.
Vice President Murray?
Aye.
President Sklar?
Aye. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. We're now on to item number 5, which is receiving from the CDFW a report on actions taken pursuant to the emergency sport and recreational fishing regulations that we took, we did last month. Do we want to lead, Melissa, would you like to lead off?
Thank you, President Sklar. This is just a reminder for those who may not be aware or may not recall that the commission took emergency action to provide authority to the California Department of Fish and Wildlife to restrict or limit fishing in particular areas of California as a result of COVID-19. That was done so in coordination with and at the request of specific cities or counties and in consultation with the president of the commission prior to any action taken. The commission and the director both had made a commitment to use that authority sparingly and only as requested by local governments. And Director Bonham is going to provide us with an update on the specific actions that the department did ultimately take after those requests.
Terrific. Director Bonham, welcome. Director Bonham, are you there?
Yes, President.
Okay, we can hear you. Go ahead, please.
Great. Hey, good morning, everyone. And thank you, Commissioners, Public, Melissa. Melissa's correct. That action by you, Commissioners, was on April 15th. It added an emergency regulation to our Code of Regulations, number 8.02, after a whole heck of a lot of public engagement. And to remind folks, it's a emergency approach giving limited ability to the department to temporarily suspend, delay, or restrict recreational fishing. It automatically expires May 31st, and it expressly required me to report back to you, which is the purpose of this agenda item. So after your approval on April 15th, the commission and the department did exactly what we told the public we were going to do. We had been in receipt of requests from three counties, Alpine, Inyo, Mono. You will remember that the recreational trout opener in those counties was scheduled for April 25th. They asked us to delay that temporarily. We did. We made those changes effective April 22nd, going through the Administrative Procedure Act process with the Office of Administrative Law. And those are set to expire May 31st. Subsequent to those three counties, we had one additional county, Sierra, approach us. And after a similar written request from their law enforcement, health, and county levels, the department, after consultation with President Mr. Sklar, agreed to a very specific change in Sierra County related to certain delays for recreational fishing on the Yuba River around Downeysville. So that was the full breadth and extent of what we did. Four counties, we were very open and public about it after consultation with local government and conferring with the president of the commission. We then activated all of our outreach pathways. We updated the specified phone number, which provides this information as a dial-in educational place for anglers. We updated our website and we pushed this information out through our media contacts. Other than that, we've done nothing until most recently, and I consulted with the president of the commission last night. We are in receipt of an additional letter from Alpine County. We received it on May 6th. It is from the Sheriff's Office and the Board of Supervisors of Alpine County. And as many of us are both living and observing, the state under the leadership of Governor Newsom and local jurisdictions are working collaboratively to move from what we're calling stage one approach for the economy and the public health dynamics around the pandemic into stage two. That means some counties are slowly reopening certain activities. So we received a letter from Alpine County on May 6th. They formally asked us to move the delay, which was set to expire on May 31st, back to May 15th so that they could open up recreational fishing tomorrow. Because as a county, they are successfully moving from stage one to stage two, and they are slowly bringing businesses back under, you know, all appropriate health advisories for operation on May 8th. So I have agreed based on their request, and effective tomorrow, the Trout opener, which had been delayed to June 1, will now be pulled back, and the trout season can start in Alpine County on May 15th. That's the totality of what we've done under this emergency regulation. So let me stop there and see if you have any questions.
Commissioners, any questions for Director Bonham? Okay, hearing none, I'm gonna ask any attendees if they'd like to comment on this item. Please raise your hand if you would like to. Again, you do that by raising your hand on the Zoom feature or by pressing #2 on your phone. At this point, I see one attendee asking to speak. That is Wayne. James, if you could unmute him. And James, Wayne, rather, you'll have 3 minutes, please. Wayne, go ahead. If you're muted still. So either unmute yourself or James, have we not unmuted him?
Yeah, I've unmuted him, but he needs to agree to be unmuted on his side, I believe.
Yeah, Wayne, you'll see a little icon saying, do you agree to be unmuted? And you should hit, yeah, there
Hi.
You go. Good morning, Wayne, how are you?
We can hear Hi. You. Hey, I just wanted to comment. This is Wayne Cotto with CCA California. I really want to appreciate Director Bonham being able to come out here and be honest with us and listen to what Alpine says to open up early. This is great news and shows the commitment that and the partnership between us, the anglers, and the commission and the department, that we can all work together. And when good news happens, we can also announce that. So thank you guys very much. This is great news.
Great. Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you.
Are there any other anybody else who'd like to speak? I'm going to, if Phoebe's still here, I'm going to ask her to speak in a second, but we'll come back to public comment if she still would like to speak. But in the meantime, there's no action on this, commissioners, or any comments you'd like to make on this before we wrap it up?
And President, I'll add one thing.
Yes, please, Chuck.
So what we will do today is, again, activate our outreach, update the phone information, update the website information, and communicate through our media contacts about the change for Alpine. All other things hold true. Those other decisions expire May 31st. And part of our outreach today will continue to put on the top tier both the request and advice. As anglers go out, we know they will honor all social and physical distancing advice. Doing this wisely and prudently is part of our task, both to enjoy the outdoors when we can open up the opportunity, but use it wisely given we're still in the pandemic phases that we are in.
Great. Thank you very much, Director Bonham. I just want to add that, you know, this process was a little bumpy at first, but then I think we really figured out how to deal with emergencies in the time of shutdown and virtual meetings. The director and I have been in constant contact over this, and I think this has worked out quite well. The local counties got what they needed. We were able to do it in a limited and surgical way. As Director Bonham said, in just a day, some of that fishing will be opened again, and then in just a couple weeks, the rest. So thank everybody for their patience on it and their cooperation. It has proven that we can succeed and do what we need to do in these difficult times. So thank you all. I want to just mention to Ms. Lenhardt, Phoebe Lenhardt, who asked to speak in public comment. I don't see you raising your hand again. If you do want to speak right now, please do. If not, what I would say is if you just simply can't get your audio working, we will include a written comment if you send it in sometime. Okay, she's raised her hand again. Can we try again to see if we can unmute her?
She should be unmuted.
Ms. Lenhardt, are you unmuted? Do you see a button that says unmute yourself? Can you speak?
Hello, Commissioner, President Clark, can you hear me?
We can. Go ahead, please. You have 3 minutes.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you very much. I appreciate your patience with me and with the technology. Thank you very, very much. I am before you today regarding an item that is not on your agenda, and an item that has not been addressed in the past, even though it has been very much a threat. And this is Lenoir County. It's called TAHD. I'm not going to try to pronounce the disease, the organism, the bacteria spelled TREPONEME. This disease appeared in Washington State and became a huge problem around 2008 and 2009, and it has affected in Washington State in their herds up to 20% to 90% of the elk. And Dr. Margaret Wild with Washington State University, as well as the veterinary department in Washington State University, has been doing extensive research about this TAHD. The TAHD was first identified and confirmed in Oregon in 2014, and this disease has been spreading county by county south. So from northern Oregon to central Oregon to southern Oregon, this disease has been spreading among the Roosevelt elk, and it was just reported a week or two ago that the TAHD was found in Del Norte County. This is of great concern. There is, quote, no cure for this disease in wildlife, and it appears to be transmitted through what's called digital dermatitis. And again, this is from the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife in cattle and dairy cows. So this has been transmitted from wild, stock into the wildlife with elk. And accordingly, being wildlife, it is not easily retreated. So I feel that the Department of Fish and Wildlife in California has not made informed decisions because they have never addressed this in any of their reports. I think that on your behalf, you could not make informed decisions or wildlife protection because Department of Fish and Wildlife has excluded this from their reports. Why they have omitted this from their reports and not addressed it, I do not know. It seems to me that that's extremely irresponsible and poor stewardship. I would like to ask that the 2020-2021 hunting regulations for Roosevelt elk be discarded, that it needs to be redone addressing the TAHD. The only way that we can prevent this happening to our elk is that elk-proof fencing needs to be established around the cattle in the areas where the disease has appeared.
Ms. Lenhart, can I ask you to wrap up, please?
And I just did, sir. We need to establish elk fencing around the cattle where this disease has appeared in the Roosevelt elk. And I think the Department of Fish and Wildlife has been extremely deceptive in not addressing this in their report.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Wheeler, thank you. Your time is up. I appreciate your comments, and feel free to send any more in by written comment. Thank you very much. Mr. Wheeler, we have one more speaker. Can we unmute Thomas Wheeler, please? Mr. Wheeler, go ahead, please. You'll have 3 minutes.
Thank you. I would also like to follow up on the same subject that Phoebe raised, the treponema-associated hoof disease, or TAHD, which is a bacterially associated syndrome which causes severe lameness in elk. As Phoebe related, it's been discovered in elk in Del Norte County and is likely transferred down from southern Oregon to us here in California. There is no cure or effective treatment for wild populations, and the effects of TAHD are highly significant. In Washington State, in herds there, it has been found to cause lameness in 90% of elk in infected herds, and it is suspected to be the cause of a 35% population decline in an infected herd in Washington. Our only hope is to minimize disease transfer and to mitigate impacts where present. This will require the Commission to promulgate new regulations to prevent disease spread and to mitigate impacts. Oregon and Washington can provide some degree of an example. They have put forward regulations themselves to limit disease spread, but these have obviously been insufficient. We also believe that it's necessary to re-examine hunting tags issued at the last meeting. As you know, the Commission increased the number of elk tags issued at your April 16th meeting. The cumulative effects of this new disease, together with increased pressure on local herd populations from hunting needs to be examined, and the commission will be receiving a letter concerning this significant information. So I would hope that the commission will, on its own accord, put this on its next agenda for further discussion. And we look forward to working with the department and with the commission on this issue. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. With that, I close public comment and want to make a couple fat last announcements. First of all, I want to announce that our next meeting, June 24th and 25th, which is scheduled for Santa Ana, is likely to be via webinar and teleconference. We will let people know as soon as we have a final word on that. Following that, on July 29th is the next Marine Resources Committee meeting. And then August 18th is the tribal meeting, followed on the 19th and 20th by the full commission meeting in Fortuna, hopefully in person if we can do that. I want to remind everybody that we, at 9:30 in 24 minutes, we're going to be picking up with the Wildlife Resources Committee meeting. Please go to that agenda for information for logging on to that meeting in particular. With that, unless there's anything else, Melissa, I'll adjourn the meeting.
President Sklar?
Yep.
I do believe that Stafford Laird wanted to say something.
Okay, I do see that now. Thank you, Melissa. Stafford, go ahead, please.
Yes, President Sklar, commissioners, Stafford Laird, Deputy Director for the Department of Fish and Wildlife. I just want to address the comments on the treponema-associated hoof disease in Del Norte County. We got confirmed presence of the disease in two Roosevelt elk earlier this month. This is new and novel to California. Yes, we knew that this was in Oregon and Washington and Idaho, but it was not under surveillance in California. When we got the data, we immediately began to put into place monitoring plans associated with that. We're going to be working collaboratively with the three Western states that are experiencing this. And it is, yes, it appears to be highly infectious among elk, but there's no evidence that it affects humans. And we are setting up monitoring stations right now in Del Norte County, and it will be incorporated in any future management as we learn more and surveillance reveals more. So I want to just assure people this was new and novel to California, but we have some of the best veterinarians in the nation all over this, and we're working collaboratively with those other states that are involved with it. So I just want to reassure everybody that we are paying attention to it and we are factoring it in to our management strategies as we learn more and surveillance reveals more.
Great, Stafford. Really helpful. Thank you. I'm glad we're on it. And thank you to the members of the public who brought it up. It will be part of our future discussions. So again, reminder that we will meeting again on June 24th and 25th, likely in cyberspace. But thank you all for participating, all 24 attendees and 20 the members of the staff and the department and the commission and commissioners who participated. With that, we adjourn to our next meeting in June. And reminder that we will pick up again at 9:30 in about 21 minutes with the WRC. Thank you all so much.
So for those folks who are connected to the webinar or by phone currently and participated in the commission meeting, you are welcome to stay on the line or stay on the webinar. And we will, as President Sklar indicated, begin again at 9:30 a.m. with the commission's Wildlife Resources Committee. Thank you.
Okay, terrific. I'm calling to order the May 14th meeting of the Wildlife Resource Committee for the Fish and Game Commission of California. I know that we have both myself and Commissioner Burns on, so we have a quorum. Commissioner Burns, are you okay with the agenda as planned?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so we approve the agenda and we have a quorum. I'd like to welcome Ari, our wildlife advisor, to begin and lead off with introductions and description of the meeting. Ari Corman, please.
Thank you, President Sklar. Okay. Welcome to the this meeting of the Wildlife Resources Committee. Our goal today is informed discussion to guide future decision makings, and we need your cooperation in that. These proceedings are being recorded, just so everybody knows. In the unlikely event of emergency, please note the nearest exit. That will be different for most people. The committee meetings operate informally, less formal than the full commission meeting that we just had. And we'd like to provide an opportunity for everyone to comment and discuss the agenda items. If you wish to speak on an agenda item, please raise your hand. You'll receive instructions on how to do that in a moment. And if you wish, please provide your name and affiliation, just so we know who's talking and who's being represented. I would like to do a brief introduction for some of the folks that we have on the line. We have Eric Sklar, who is one of the co-chairs and is chairing the meeting today. We have Commissioner Russell Burns, the other co-chair. We have Melissa Miller Henson, who's the executive director of the California Fish and Game Commission. Also, we have Stafford Lair, deputy director for the Wildlife and Fisheries Division. We have David Bess, who's a deputy director and chief of the Law Enforcement Division. I don't know if he's still on, but we did at one point have Kevin Schaefer, acting chief of the Wildlife Branch. We have Roger Bloom, who's acting chief of the Fisheries Branch. We have Chris Stutes, who's a captain with the Law Enforcement Division. I also saw Jennifer Ikimoto, assistant chief with the Law Enforcement Division, and Randy Lovell, aquaculture coordinator. My apologies if I missed somebody else who might be on from the department, but I think that's everybody. And I think that's all for introductions.
Okay, terrific, Ari, thank you. I wanna briefly just ask if there are any public officials or members of leadership of tribes on the call today as attendees. If you are either a member of tribal leadership or a public official, could you please raise your hand? You can do that one of two ways. If you're on Zoom, you can hit the raise your hand icon next to your name. And if you're calling in, you can do it by pressing #2. If anybody would do that right now, I'd appreciate it. Just if you're a public official or a tribal leader. I'm gonna give another second or two for that. And if I don't see anybody, we'll go on to the next item. Okay, I don't see any. So, okay, we're gonna now go on to public comment. Public comment is an opportunity to speak on any item not on today's agenda. So if you wanna talk about something that's not items on items 3, 4, 5, or 6, I invite you to raise your hand now and we'll allow you to speak on, again, any item that's not on the public, on the agenda today. Again, you do that by raising your hand with the hand icon on Zoom or by pressing #2 if you're calling in. At this point, I see one speaker, Jareb. Can we please unmute Jareb and let him speak, please? One more second, Jareb. You're not unmuted yet, but you will be momentarily. You're now unmuted and you have 3 minutes. Please go ahead.
I have no view of all of you. Is that normal?
Yes, it is. We're not doing audio. We're just doing audio today.
All right. Can you hear me?
We can. Welcome, ma'am.
Yeah, so my name is Sandra Jarabek, and today I am representing the Friends of Del Norte, which is a group that has been active in Del Norte County on environmental issues for almost 50 years. And my comment is about your process. I think that we feel that your mission is wonderful, and the transparency and inclusiveness that you have in there is wonderful. But we are concerned that hundreds of people that we represent in Del Norte are not being well represented in their comments. People are not opposed to hunting. They want you to be more conservative. And I'll say more about that later. The Friends of Del Norte submitted a letter on April 2nd for your April 16th meeting. That letter was not posted to the meeting. It was not part of the meeting documents. And we would like to understand what happened with that, because it was a substantive letter. Mr. Cornman has stated that you have asked the staff to summarize the comments from the public. He also has stated that you received hundreds of comments and that our comments were received late. However, we have evidence that they were submitted on time. So we are concerned both with the summary and the process. I would love to have further clarification of that for the Friends of Del Norte as to what went wrong, so that we can avoid this in the future. There were three organizations up here that made comments by April 2nd, and none of those were posted for the meeting. And thank you very much. I know that the agencies are underfunded, and I congratulate you on your 150 years, and happy rain, everybody.
Thank you, Ms. Jarabek, and I apologize for not getting your name right. It cut it off a little bit when in my view. And now we have Phoebe Lenhardt, who would like to speak. Please go ahead, Ms. Lenhardt. You have 3 minutes. Wait a second. Your phone will be unmuted momentarily. There you go. Can you hear us?
Yes. Are you able to hear me?
We are. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to speak before this meeting. I, too, have a number of concerns representing the supporters for Del Norte Roosevelt Elk. My concerns are the fact that one of the letters that I had sent to the Fish and Game Commission ended up in a packet about the emergency fishing meeting. I'm not sure how these things happen, but I'm definitely feeling that the concerns that are being addressed regarding the Roosevelt Elk and our county are not finding their way to the appropriate channels. Somehow the letters are not received, and I'm not sure how that's happening. My other concern is in regard to the Department of Fish and Wildlife. When they are submitting their reports for elk hunting regulations for a hunting season, they have been submitting their reports before the commission in little as 2 days before the meeting. And as we all know, for correspondence to be included in a commissioner's packet, the department wants the information 2 weeks before the meeting. So when the Department of Fish and Wildlife is submitting their reports late, then the public has absolutely no opportunity to communicate with the commission and express concerns that are very important in regard to the conservatorship and the lack of information that is available to the Fish and Game Commission as well as to yourselves. So I think somehow this needs to be improved, because this is not acceptable. This has to be done better. I don't see that there's been any excuse why this information cannot be prepared, because the department has the data. So the information that Department of Fish and Wildlife provides needs to be available to the public at least 1 or 2 weeks before the 2-week deadline to submit comments to the Fish and Game Commission. And I wouldn't be complaining about this, except that this has been a pattern, and it's not a good pattern for the public. So there definitely needs to be more proaction taken in having the documents available to the public at least 2 weeks before the Fish and Game Commission or your meetings, and also to have the ability to have our documents placed in the right packets.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Hunter. I appreciate it. Next, Roy Griffith. Please unmute Roy. Roy, you're unmuted. Go ahead, please. Hello? Roy? Roy, you may need to hit a button to unmute on your side. Roy, please try again.
He's been allowed to talk and he's unmuted too, so.
Yeah, so Roy, it's working on our end. Your mic may not be working. Please try and speak now, or we're gonna have to come back to you. Okay, Roy, there's a number you can call in for technical help on getting your mic to work on the agenda if you call that number. Or Rachel, do you wanna just read that number real fast for anybody?
Sure. Let me see. That number is area code 916-653-8486. Again, 916-653-8486 for technical assistance.
Okay. We'll come back to Roy if he's able to get on. If not, what we're going to do now is move to public comment. I'm sorry, move to department updates, which is item number 3. And we're going to begin with Kevin Schaefer, the Wildlife Branch Acting Chief.
Good morning, President Sklar. Can you hear me?
Morning, Kevin. Yes, we can. Go ahead, please.
Basically, I will keep the wildlife update very short. What we are doing now is looking
at speak first.
What is
Stafford
crucial?
Wanted to speak first.
I'm sorry, Melissa. Could you mute your phone for a second, please? We can hear you.
crucial monitoring information that we need on wildlife species, including deer and waterfowl, going through the next season, given our health situation, both in California and the Western states. One of the things that's going on right now is that Fish and Wildlife Service is concerned about being able to get all the data across the states, especially for waterfowl, in making regulations within each state next year. So that is one of our focuses, is how we can be in the field and not only be safe for ourselves, but safe within the counties and communities of which we're in. As far as other updates, we are working on an enormous number of status reviews right now, as you know, and there's a lot of activity within the state regarding human-wildlife conflict, in that bears, mountain lions, and other animals are in moving around a lot because humans aren't. And so there's a lot of attention within our department. That's one of our kind of essential activities that we're doing. And most of that is going very well. We'll see what it looks like as the governor, shores up how we can move forward as a state. One of the things we're also looking at, because we're in the field a lot, is fire season is coming up. So in coordinating with state parks and CAL FIRE, it's one of the things that fire season this year could be interesting with the health conditions. So our wildlife program being in the field now and into the future probably will be part of that coordination. I did want to speak to what came up earlier this morning about the Roosevelt Elks. Our veterinarian lab is working with folks locally, including our wildlife function out of Reading and out of Arcata, specifically for the herds in Del Norte. That's something that we'll be able to share information on But since coordinating with Oregon and Idaho, we've figured out how we can move forward in monitoring and see what's going on, as Stafford Lehrer spoke to it in the earlier meeting. But I'll make sure that we can get a summary together and both to the commission and to the public.
Okay, great. Thank you, Kevin. I know that Stafford Lehrer would like to speak. Stafford, let's go ahead and mute and please speak.
Thank you, President Sklar, Russ Burns, how are you? Anyways, I just want to touch upon a couple of things at a broad scale within the state right now. First off, let me speak to Ms. Lenhart's request for earlier transmission of what the final numbers will be. Historically, the department has been remiss in getting those out in a timely manner. And we have been really striving to improve the timeliness of that information. Ideally, we would hope to have that information to be discussed well ahead of a commission meeting in the local working group that we are working in Del Norte County to develop the local based elk management unit plan. And that's the Northwest Management Unit and North Coast Management Unit. And yes, we definitely can bring that information to that group. I'd urge them to participate in that group. It's had a couple of initial attempts to get a kickoff meeting. Some were very rocky. But we're standing by a commitment to work within the local community to develop a local management plan for that area. Concurrently, we now have this new pathogen that's out on the landscape, as Kevin referred to. We'll bring back to y'all, what is our monitoring plan? Well, how are we planning addressing this so that everybody can see that we are on top of this? And I will just commit to the professionalism of our veterinarians and our wildlife staff that are working on this, and we'll have something for you. Next thing, you know, this is very unusual times, right? We have unprecedented times. We have this global pandemic with coronavirus expressing itself as COVID-19. At the same time, in the wildlife world, there's a high intensity of focus on zoonotic diseases. And what I mean by that is a disease that's present in a wildlife species that has the potential to jump to humans. You know, it's highly likely that the coronavirus jumped from a bat species into the human species. Now, as we move forward, we know that there are other diseases that we are highly focused on. Chronic wasting disease in our deer, elk, moose, and other ungulates. We're part of a national working group that is monitoring that. We have increased our surveillance in California. We're asking hunters to be extremely careful bringing processed game back from out of state. We have monitoring going on of a disease that hits the sheep population transmitted from domestic sheep and that are in the open range to our wild sheep populations. That's not a zoonotic, but it still affects wildlife. And most recently, as of Monday night, we got confirmation of a new novel pathogen that can affect our wild rabbit populations in California. It's called rabbit hemorrhagic disease. And this is a foreign disease that appeared in the United States primarily in three states, Texas, Arizona, and Colorado. The national task force has been rapidly spooling up to respond to this disease. It's highly lethal to wild rabbits and domestic rabbits. So it affects an agriculture sector plus the wild populations. This disease is reportable to the World Animal Health Organization. It is has to be verified by one of the most secure biosecurity labs in the world, at Palm Island in New York. Well, we got a signal. It was confirmed on Monday night. So we are rapidly standing up a surveillance program for that. We have some very sensitive, the order is lagomorphs, rabbits, pikas, and things like that. So we're very concerned for sensitive rabbit populations in California, namely the listed riparian brush rabbit and the sensitive pika population. So this is a very unusual time. We're rapidly having to stand up our wildlife disease and improve our wildlife disease monitoring program that's required by state law. And we're in close collaboration with the California Department of Food and Agriculture, who has the ability to place quarantines on animals or groups of animals that could affect the agriculture sector. You know, we've got some of the best veterinarians in the country. They're just absolutely incredible. And our capabilities are rapidly expanding, and we're putting resources towards it. And it's got everybody's attention right now because of what's going on with COVID. And I'll leave it at that, President Sklar. If you have any questions, be willing to take them.
Great. Thank you, Stafford. I appreciate it. We do have I want to now read, we're going to come back to Roy Griffiths. Roy, hang tight. We're going to do we'll do public comment as soon as we're done with these three updates. Matt, now ask Roger Bloom, Acting Fisheries Branch Chief, to give a Fisheries Branch update.
Yes, thank you, President Sklar. Good morning, Commissioner Burns, Department staff. I just want to follow up and kind of echo similar interesting times that Stafford and Kevin alluded to. I'll quickly go through some of the highlights. Obviously, the commission staff are familiar with, we're going through that reg simplification process. We're in the initial stages of the regulatory rulemaking process, so we still have a lot of investment and time into that. We've also navigated through, as we talked about this morning, the emergency delays, which have been a lot of work moving through that process along with the regional staff and communicating with the public to inform them on what we're doing and how we're moving forward. In the background, we also have been working with the anglers in regards to some of the challenges we've been facing and concerns in relation to the events that we permit through the department. That includes bass tournaments and other events to try to give them the direction and guidance on how to deal with those events in the face of COVID-19. And then regular operations in regard to the petition and five-year status reviews that we're trying to keep the commission updated on and move through that process in these times working remotely. But a lot of it has to do with concerns in relation to COVID-19 and how we keep moving forward with our general management of fisheries and recovery efforts. And that has affected general operations of the hatchery and the facilities to stock our trout out in the reservoirs. Recovery actions that we, you know, in many cases took for granted in regards to the field work and implementation of those actions, which are essential and trying to figure out how to navigate through that space right now, and general monitoring of our fisheries and basic creel and understanding and getting input from the anglers. And we even have at some level disease and outbreaks within our fisheries that are now complicated because of COVID-19 and being able to disperse resources to monitor those effects. And in the background, it's not a bright, shiny light right now, but we also have a reduced snowpack and water content, which has got me nervous. And I've been working with our fisheries managers to keep an eye on low water conditions moving into this summer, which Kevin alluded to in regards to fire threats. So we've got to have that in the back of our mind with a lot of other things, given this COVID and pandemic. I don't want to call it a distraction. It's a major effect, but it's hard to keep everybody focused on all these things when we're limited. So a lot of things going along in a dynamic state that we're trying to keep our thumb on the pulse of these issues.
Great. Thank you very much, Roger. I now turn to Law Enforcement Chief David Best for a law enforcement update. Chief Best.
Thank you. Good morning, President Sklar and Commissioner Burns. In the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, we still have our wildlife officers out there continuing to conduct general patrol throughout the state, providing both public safety and protection to the state's natural resources. We have seen a significant increase in public activity in common outdoor recreation areas. Wardens are telling us, reporting to headquarters, that you can liken the use to major holiday weekends. Just a lot of people out recreating right now on the landscape. And of course, when that happens, we encounter the normal violation occurrences that happen out there, relatively small relative to the overall constituency, but they're still out there occurring. And then just when officers are out patrolling along the coastlines, desert areas, lakes, canals, we've had officers really focused on educating people relative to physical distancing and COVID-19 restrictions. We continue to work with our allied agency partners, specifically state parks, California Highway Patrol, and the Law Enforcement Division for CAL FIRE on OES, the Governor's Office of Emergency Services tasked missions. The Department of Fish and Wildlife has a captain, Mike Kirchner, who's permanently assigned to the Governor's Office of Emergency Services. So we've got a pretty close connectivity to the law enforcement component of that. Some of the missions that we've been tasked with in recent weeks have been security detail with the U.S. Coast Guard on the cruise ship that was quarantined, the Grand Princess, in San Francisco Bay. We have provided law enforcement services to COVID-19 test centers in the South Bay. And then also working closely in conjunction with state parks and the Highway Patrol and CAL FIRE relative to some of the closures that are going on relative to state parks lands and providing them law enforcement assistance relative to just educating people relative to how to recreate during the COVID-19 pandemic and also find themselves in concert with the emergency orders that have been issued. So a little bit different type of workload sometimes than wildlife officers are normally tasked with, but being, you know, complete state peace officers under post, working out there alongside with our partners, Highway Patrol, state parks. We're also been filling those voids too in the course of this pandemic. And that is it. I will leave it with that.
Great. Thank you very much, Chief Best. Really appreciate it and appreciate the work of you and all your folks. I want to call on now Roy Griffith, if you'd like to make a comment on public comment, and then we'll ask anybody who wants to comment on the department updates. Roy, can we unmute Roy Griffith's phone, please? Roy, go ahead. Can you talk now?
Yeah, President Sklar, thank you.
Great, thank Burns, you. Staff.
I think maybe my comments are more appropriate under item number 4, but I didn't see them on the agenda. I'm calling on okay. behalf of the California.
Okay, Roy, then we're going to hold you off for a second here. We'll come back to you on item 4, okay?
Yes, sir. I didn't want to take up your time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Jarabek, if you'd like to comment on item number 3, please let us know. Ms. Jarabek, go ahead. I'm sorry, one more second.
I see, I have to
okay,
unmute.
I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Right, am I I'm with sorry. You? I'm sorry, can you please start over again?
All right. We're glad that you all are on the job, and we wish you had more funding, as I said earlier. And we do advocate for more funding for you and state parks. So I'd like to make a comment, and then I have questions for Stafford Lehrer, please. First of all, you cannot imagine when the elk showed up a few short years ago how excited many of us were about that. And secondly, the Friends of Del Norte have been commenting on the elk issue for 4 or 5 years now. They have never been invited to the local working group. We understand a meeting was held last July. We've heard nothing about this. The Friends would like to be invited, as would EPIC, which has also been commenting for 4 or 5 years on elk conservation issues. Thank you. So questions for Stafford Lehrer. There aren't many cases in Del Norte yet of the hoof disease. Why can't we take a page from COVID and do contact tracing at this point? We would like you to put focused resources into this and stop it at the border and prevent it from spreading. Your environmental document acknowledges that these elk in Del Norte, the Roosevelt elk in Del Norte and Northern Humboldt, are genetically unique. They have not interbred with Rocky Mountain elk as have so many other Roosevelt elk in other areas. We think that this, the unique genetics of these elk deserve even a greater degree of protection and an emergency attitude. Why can't we trace contacts? Why can't we do prevention? We understand cattle and sheep transmit this. Something must have happened. Can you talk about tracing it and stopping it and preventing it, please? Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for your comments. Next speaker, George Osborne, please. And then we'll come back to Stafford for a quick comment. Can we unmute George? George, you're unmuted. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I got it. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Go ahead, George, please.
Thanks very much. This technology is challenging to me. Good morning, President Sklar, Commissioner Burns. This is George Osborne representing Montana Farms. I want to speak very briefly to the Inland Fisheries Regulation Simplification Project, especially as it has to do with the Truckee River. We have had several and we're having ongoing discussions with the Department of Fish and Wildlife, including with Director Bonham and Roger Bloom. We look forward to the June notice meeting on that project. And I would really like to thank your staff, Ari Kornman, for help with some research on past Fish and Game Committee actions, Director Bonham and Roger Bloom. And we look forward to continuing that dialogue. Thank you very much.
Thank you, George. Appreciate it. Stafford, can you comment just very briefly on the comments that were made?
So, in the interest of not wading into a subject matter that I have really no expertise in, and that is epidemiology and all of that, I'll just say this. With regards to how we monitor this disease, we commit to getting something to the commission and the public that can outline and attempt to address some of the questions that Ms. Jarabek raised. As to local working groups and discussion groups, it's a public meeting. It's open. Really, we're asking the Del Norte Board of Supervisors to help facilitate who is and how that is all set up because they know their local community. We're in as we learn of these, as I learn of these meetings, I'll just commit the department will personally reach out to both Epic and Friends of Del Norte so that they're aware of it. We need to improve the public transparency, and we are working through that as we speak. But really, to the whole question of how we're going to monitor this thing, I'm going to have to defer to our experts, and we will have that outlined to the best of our abilities in a forthcoming narrative to you all. So this is a new world for me personally, but professionally within our veterinarian staff, they get it, they understand it. I'll have to defer to them.
Thank you, Stafford, I appreciate it. Okay, we're now on to item number four, initial recommendations for regulations. Ari, will you please lead us off?
Okay, this item is to discuss initial recommendations for annual and periodic regulation changes. We'll be discussing in turn mammal hunting, waterfowl hunting, Central Valley sport fishing, Klamath River Basin sport fishing, and inland sport fishing. Any recommendations that would come from these discussions would be potentially made at the September meeting in September 2020, currently scheduled for Sacramento. So we will start off with mammal hunting. And I believe someone from the department wants to speak. Is that you, Kevin?
That is me, Ari.
Okay.
Thank you. So I'll quickly go through what we think for deer and elk, for sheep, and for pronghorn. The only change that we may be looking at for this hunting season for deer and elk have to do with deer in Northern California. There may be some reductions in the X zones based on recent survey information. Both the headquarters unit and then our Reading unit are still going through the data. So there may be a decrease, but we don't know at this time. On the sheep, we're looking for some adjustments potentially, but we don't anticipate any changes for the sheep regulations. For pronghorn, we're looking at zone 3 potentially for a reduction. It's the likely tables area. That's based on feedback we've gotten from hunters there, but also survey information. And again, that's a potential reduction in that one zone. For those of you not completely familiar with that zone, it's part of Modoc and then Northern Lassen counties.
Is that it, Kevin?
That's it.
Awesome. Okay, so we're going to do a public. We have five different sets of regulations here: mammal hunting, waterfowl, Central Valley sport, Klamath Basin, River Basin, and inland. We're going to do public comment after each one so that people can comment on the specific one. So right now, if you'd like to comment just on mammal hunting, please raise your hand. And I see two people so far. If there's anybody else, please raise your hand now. And again, limited to just this item. And again, we ask people to be brief and concise and not repeat items they've said before. So we're going to start with Marilyn Jasper. Please unmute her mic.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, Marilyn Jasper, Public Interest Coalition. Using hounds or dogs to hunt deer is banned in 39 states. Only California, Hawaii, and 9 deep south states allow hound hunting of deer. Even states that allow dog deer hunting are banning the activity in specific counties or parishes. Some states that do not allow the use of dogs to hunt deer, such as Texas and Maryland, for example, may allow a dog to track only a blood trail to recover wounded deer, and that it would be by permit with specific conditions. The practice of dog deer hunting is neither fair chase nor ethical. Should deer avoid or escape the dogs, they may succumb to myopathy, also known as capture myopathy. Unfair chase occurs when hounds are released to drive the fleeing deer to hunters, known as stands, who are waiting to shoot them as they emerge exhausted from the cover. As the chase progresses, dog handlers inform the stands via text or cell phone of the dog's GPS coordinates, locations, and or changing directions of the fleeing deer. Stands then shift their positions accordingly. Before hounds pick up a scent, they're running loose in wildlife habitat creates significant disturbances and impacts to non-targeted wildlife, including but not limited to harassment, predation, abandonment of young, and or changes in migratory patterns. Fawns do not stand a chance against dogs. Wildlife rehabbers can attest to the lethal wounds these extremely vulnerable victims sustain every year. Live coursing is illegal in California, except for rabbits or hares, but hound hunting has morphed into a de facto live coursing activity. We urge that new mammal hunting regulations include a prohibition on the use of dogs to hunt deer. Make California the 40th state. With skill and stealth, ethical hunters may still hunt deer successfully without dogs and will not be affected by a dog deer hunt ban, as the vast majority do now. Thank you for considering this issue.
Thank you. Can you release Mr. Wheeler, please? Thomas Wheeler? Mr. Wheeler, you're on mic. Please go ahead.
I again want to just briefly touch on THD. I know that we've talked about this at the Wildlife Resources Committee meeting already and at the earlier meeting this morning. But I would like the department to come back with regulations to limit the spread of THD where possible. And I appreciate the comments from Stafford and from Kevin expressing that they are working cooperatively with other states on best management practices. So I would hope that at the next meeting, we'll be able to see some of this work.
Great, thank you, Mr. Wheeler. Roy Griffith, please. One moment, Roy, will we unmute you? Okay, Roy, you should be able to go.
President Sklar, Commissioner Burns, staff, thank you so much for this opportunity. Today I'm speaking on behalf of the California Rifle and Pistol Association. I'm also covering for Mr. Bill Gaines, Gaines and Associates for the California Bowman. A bunch going on, he's at the Capitol right now. I'd like to comment on the recommendation by the California Bowman to allow the use of scopes on both crossbows and muzzle loaders. These are both legal means to take. Their proposal only suggests the use of a one power scope, which doesn't really enhance the ability, but does allow for a cleaner take. And that's what we all believe in. If we're gonna be hunting these animals, we might as well allow the folks that are using the means of take to use it as effectively and efficiently as possible with the current technology without taking that ability to take up beyond what a muzzleloader is intended to do. Their second recommendation is increase of share archery tags. Including the SHARE program, providing some more opportunities for that. Well, that's the bulk of my comments. I just want to keep them brief, but again, I would say that at CRPA, we support both of those measures as well. Again, these are legal means to take. All we want to see is them to be as efficient as they can and provide for clean take. Thank you, sir.
Great, thank you, Mr. Griffith. Ms. Jarabek, please give us 1 second while we release your mic. Okay, please go ahead, Ms. Jarabek.
Yes, thank you very much for the Friends of Del Norte. So I would like to hear more from Mr. Schaefer about
data and decreases. It was not clear if the decrease in tags would be for Roosevelt elk. And then I have some comments. So again, we are not against hunting. We want you to take higher your public trust obligation to protect these genetically unique and original Roosevelt elk. Your environmental document from last May states that acknowledges these genetics, and it states that the number of tags that you have now approved at your last meeting may limit the population growth within 10 years. Even so, the tags were approved. The available data that the public has at this point, which is from your Eureka office, shows that it indicates or it suggests that the Roosevelt elk herds peaked in numbers in 2017 and now are declining. It's a significant decline. It is very difficult to get this data. We have to rely on the generosity of staff, which are excellent. Carrington Hilson is excellent, but she's not full-time. We'd like you to publish this data. We would like more complete data, please, so that we can analyze it with you and be your partners in conserving these elk. Secondly, now we have, or fourth, now we have the hoof disease. This is new information, and we would urge that the tags just approved be reconsidered in light of this new information, and that a new environmental document be issued with a plan for preventing the spread of this disease and protecting these herds, which the data suggests appear to be declining. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. I don't know, Brad or Stafford, do you want to make any comments on that, or we'll move on to the next one?
President Sklar, Stafford, let's go ahead and move on.
Okay, thank you. Now we're on to waterfowl hunting, which is again, Brad, please.
Sorry, Kevin.
I'm sorry, Kevin, go ahead, please.
First, I wanted to answer the question about whether the data being analyzed right now is about deer or elk. It is about deer. So I'll get now to the waterfowl. The biggest issue we have right now in our regulations is we don't necessarily propose or see any change for geese or for ducks. But we, like other Western states, are working with Fish and Wildlife Service to kind of establish a framework, because data is not coming in this year. But basically, we may be shifting. We're expecting some comments from the California Waterfowl Association. We may be shifting early and late season on geese for the balance of the state. But otherwise, there are no definitive changes for this year.
Great. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it. Any public comments on item 4B? I see three hands so far. I'm going to call them in order. Ms. Lenhart, can we unmute her phone, please? Go ahead, Ms. Lenhart. Ms. Lenhart, go ahead, please. You may have to unmute your phone as well. Ms. Lenhart. Okay, we cannot hear her. So let's go on to Mark Smith.
Mark, thank you, ahead. President. Yeah, I was waiting for my little unmute button to pop up.
Go ahead, can please.
Okay. Mark Smith on behalf of California Waterfowl Association. As Kevin mentioned, these are the expected comments You know, we have proposed moving 2 days from the back end of the early season in the balance of the state zone, moving them to the opening weekend of the late goose season, which we think will enhance opportunity. We'd like clarification on whether or not we need an approval from the Pacific Flyway Council. So Kevin or Melanie, if you're on the phone, you could potentially address that. And then I'm just going to mention, because we're talking about geese, California Waterfowl and the Northern California Guides and Sportsmen have really been pushing for a light goose conservation order on the Pacific Flyway, given the overabundance of that species at certain times of the year and the impacts that they're having in the valley. And I know that that is a larger discussion, but I just want to flag that and put that up on the radar again. We think it's important for the management of the species. And particularly at a time when the populations have exploded past what we would consider to be the appropriate carrying capacity. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. And then James, can we bring in call in user nine with a number 970 starting? caller, can you tell us your name and your affiliation, if any?
Hi, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, sir. I apologize. I'm the lady who was trying to address the mammal hunting. Yes?
Okay, please go ahead.
Okay, I'm the lady who was trying to reach you earlier to address mammal hunting.
Yes.
May I do this right now?
Please do.
Okay, sir. All right, sir. I'm addressing the appearance of the TAHD in the Roosevelt Elk in Del Norte County. I am with the supporters for Roosevelt Elk in Del Norte County. The TAHD is a huge problem in Washington. It appeared around 2008, 2009, and it has been investigated by the Washington State University and with Dr. Margaret Wild, who is quite a specialist in this area. Apparently, in a herd, up to 20% or 90%, as high as 90% of the members can be affected by this TAHD, and it's debilitating. And of course, with wild elk, there's no cure for it at this point, but there's a prevention, and this is what I want to bring up. But first, to let you know that this TAHD was first confirmed in Oregon in 2014, and it's been spreading county by county southward from northern Oregon to central Oregon to southern Oregon. Now, this TAHD has never been brought to the public's attention by the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, although I know that they are aware of it, but they have never addressed it in any of their reports. They've discussed drought, they've discussed wildfires, they've discussed climate change, but they have never presented before the public that the TAHD is a danger to our elk. And it is a huge danger. And I find that the Department of Fish and Wildlife has not been providing informed decisions for the FGC or your committee. They have not been providing information for wildlife protection for the FGC or the wildlife committee, because they have not discussed in any of their reports or provided any information about the TAHD. And yet that is one of the biggest threats that faces us right now. According to Washington State University, this is a, they call it a digital dermatitis, and it is found in cattle and dairy cows. And of course, with the wild elk, there's no cure, but there's a prevention. And the prevention is to separate wild and domestic animals. And where there are Roosevelt elk found in with this disease, I think it would behoove the Department of Fish and Wildlife to address the installation of elk-proof fencing so that the elk cannot mingle with domestic animals. And I think that the Department of Fish and Wildlife report, which is inadequate for 2020 to 21, much less even looking at the 2021-22, that the 2021-2022.
Can I ask you to wrap up, please? Your time is up.
Okay, I would like the Department of Fish and Wildlife to void their 2021 hunting regulations and redo them in reconsideration of the presence of TAHD. I find that their report is inaccurate because they've never addressed this issue. Thank you.
Okay, Stafford, I see that you'd like to make a comment briefly.
Yes, President Sklar, I'd just like to respond to Mark Smith's question about using shifting dates. I believe that's already within the authority. It does not have to go to the Pacific Flyway Council. Secondarily, the White Goose depredation order, that is a national issue and that must be dealt with through national NEPA documents that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Migratory Bird Program that needs to undertake that. That program is woefully understaffed. And the priority that we're focusing on with the Migratory Bird Program with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is the pintail adaptive harvest model. So the bottom line is I don't see any action being taken on a depredation white goose order for the Pacific Flyway anytime in the foreseeable future. That could change if staffing increased, but if I'm not mistaken, they are down well over 40% of staff in the Migratory Bird Program within the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Now, lay on top of that, what Kevin Schaefer talked about, there are some very critical surveys that are potentially being impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. And I think everybody's just going to be focusing on just how to get the critical data to move into the next regulatory cycle in the coming months. That's it.
Great. Thanks, Stafford. Appreciate it. We're now on to 4C, and I'm going to actually have Roger have you do 4C, D, and E, and then we'll get comments on all of them at once.
Okay, thank you, President Sklar, Commissioner Burns. And I'm glad you lumped them because I had some overlap, so that makes it easier. Moving forward, one of the things I want to make sure we focus on and not be pre-decisional that we're going to be successful in moving the reg simplification package forward, but our goal and intent is to have a secondary phase on the anadromous side of that process to also take that same approach if both the commission and the department feel that it was worthwhile to assess the complications and consistency and standards that we apply in the anadromous waters, which would include the Central Valley and the Klamath Trinity. Melded into that, that process, which will again emulate what we did on the non-anadromous waters and creating a menu approach. We also are excited moving forward in the next regulatory package to insert that boat limit concept that was proposed by the NorCal guides and Mark Smith and James Stone. And we have an opportunity moving through the salmon season to evaluate that and dive in with additional bandwidth, the complexities associated with that concept and that petition. So we're excited about that, and I can address that and answer questions more. And in addition to that, as we move through some of the changes that were talked about this morning on the Klamath Trinity and also the feather with an increased bag and possession limit, focus on that, evaluate the efficacy of the increased jack size, and also evaluate an additional jack only after we see the data and the effects of on the harvest of the adults on the Klamath Trinity. So a lot of things moving forward, some of it predicated on the success and how the commission feels about our simplification process. But that's all I have for now.
Okay, let's go ahead with D.
And that is boat limits.
So I'm talking about the Klamath River Sports Basin Fishing.
So yeah, and again, just circling back to the bundle that I just stated in regards to the Klamath, we're again gonna focus primarily on looking at the effects of having that additional inch added to the jacks and following that.
Okay, got it. Okay, terrific. So if there's no more from you, Roger, I'm going to go on to Mark Smith, first attendee who'd like to speak on this.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think I'm early. I want to speak on the inland sport fishing boat limits issue, and then
Okay, Roger, go ahead with the inland sport buzzing. Thank you.
So again, on the inland, we're going to be working through a similar process to evaluate and create a menu-based approach on the anadromous aspects of the inland.
Terrific. Okay. So Mark, please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, President Sklar and everyone else on the call. Back in 2018, the guides, Northern California Guides and Sportsmen, submitted a petition on inland boat limits. And it was a pretty big deal at the time because we were limited to one fish. And, you know, we were reaching these situations where a boat would go out on a river and somebody would get a lucky strike early on and then be sitting on that boat for possibly 4, 5, 6, 7 hours. Same thing occurring with fathers, daughters, family situations, those kinds of things. So we would really like the department, and we've mentioned this in public comment at several commission meetings. We understand that the department has been overworked, working on the trout regulations, but we would really like the department to give this some consideration. We keep hearing rumblings that there could be some potential enforcement concern. And again, we would really like the opportunity to sit down and have a dialogue about that. If enforcement can be appropriately monitored for this type of boat limit fishing in the marine environment, we think that the same sort of standards would easily be able to be applied to inland fishing as well. The community considers this to be a priority and would really appreciate moving forward. I'd like to add one additional thing to something that Stafford said back on the goose when we were talking about the depredation order for white goose. Stafford, we heard you loud and clear, and California waterfowl's number one priority is the pintail harvest. So understand what you said, acknowledge that, and thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Mark. I see that we have another speaker, Roy, please. Roy Griffith, could we release his mic, and then I'll let you know, Roy, when you're ready. Okay, Roy, you should be able to go ahead.
President Sklar, Commissioner Burns, staff, thank you so much. Again, Roy Griffiths, California Rifle and Pistol Association, speaking on behalf of the California Bowmen, Hunters, and State Archery Association today. This is regarding the recommendation to remove carp from the list of wasted fish. As many of you are aware, there's carp tournaments throughout the state and so forth where the handling of carp after the tournament becomes an issue. Not a lot of people eat carp. And the goal is to get these carp and invasive species out of the water. So unlisting them as a wanton waste fish. They had some recommendations attached as to, you know, making sure that they're disposed of in a legal and appropriate manner for the area, which varies case by case. But their recommendation is to remove them from wanton waste and increase opportunities to get them out of waterways where they're causing damage. Their second recommendation is to allow both bow fishing of the gizzard shad, and I think that's been covered in the letter that they've submitted. So I'll just keep it brief, but that's all I have. Thank you, sir. Thank you, folks.
Thank you, Roy. Roger, do you want to make comments on either Mark's or Roy's comments?
I'd like to speak to Mark's comments. That's new on the carp end from what Roy said. I'll have to follow up on that with Bill or others. Speaking to the boat limit, we are, ironically, when I look back at some of the initial dialogue and petitions, it was back in January as acting fisheries chief. So I did a stint back then as well, I guess. We responded back and deferred because of the trout simplification process. We were kind of overburdened. But I do want to acknowledge that request. We do have a light at the end of the tunnel, and we will be looking into the boat limits. When we initially assessed it, there was some complexity issues, not just enforcement, but also some of our biological monitoring and other social aspects. And if I've not learned anything after 20 years of doing regs, I want to be really careful moving forward through the process and consider all those aspects. So We're committed. I've been talking with staff about looking at the modeling aspects and what effects it may have. So now we're committed to invest time in that.
Great. Thank you very much. I'm going to look and see that. I'm going to give any attendees who'd like to make any other further comments a chance to put their hand up. If not, we'll move on to the next item, but I'll give you a minute just to do that if you like.
This is Ari. I just wanted to give some context, if I could, to the boat limits issue. The Mark Smith mentioned that there was a petition. That petition was 2018-014, and it is included in the Wildlife Resources Committee binder if anybody wants to see that that original petition. That petition was denied by the commission, but at that time, the commission asked the department to investigate the substance of that petition. The petition was denied, so it didn't get continued and is considered complete, but they asked the department to consider the substance and to consider the overall issue at the next, as Roger mentioned, in the next sport fishing regulations package. Last year there wasn't one because there was so much bandwidth taken up by simplification. So that's the reason that it's coming back for consideration now in a potential sport fishing regulation package in the future.
Great. Thanks, Ari. Appreciate that. I see that Mark Smith wants to make a comment. Please, Mark, go ahead.
Ari, does that mean that you want us to submit another petition because the one originally to the Fish and Game Commission was denied? I just would like clarification on the process, and we can take this offline as well, but your comment confused me slightly.
No, I don't think another petition is specifically needed. I mean, it's on the agenda. We're discussing it now. The department has indicated its willingness to consider it for as at least part of the next inland sport fishing package. You know, any discussion that happens now, I'm sure they would take into consideration, and we can continue that discussion between now and the next, you know, offline, between now and the next WRC meeting. But it is going to take some, as Roger mentioned, it is a complicated issue with some complexities involved, both biological and enforcement. And so it is going to take some discussion and work by commission staff in the department to see how it shakes out.
Okay,
great. Thank you.
Great, thank you both. Commissioner Burns, do you have any questions or comments, or before we move on to the next next item?
Yes, I do. I'd like to ask a question in regards to the mammal hunting and Mr. Griffin's request to put optics or one power scope on crossbow and muzzle loading. Has there been any consideration or conversations in regards to that particular request in the past?
Who are you asking of that? Are you asking Ari or?
Ari, or the department, anyone who would like to comment on it.
Yeah, Roger, would you want to maybe do that? Oh, I'm sorry, Kevin. How about Stafford? Stafford, would you like to talk about it?
Yes, President Sklar. Commissioner Burns, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, back when I first started working with wildlife branch staff, I believe there already is a one power optic allowed for muzzle loaders. The new twist is archery. We'd have to look into that. I remember back when I asked the question, well, what the heck is going on with the muzzle loader? And because of muzzle loaders, distance that they're able to lethally take an animal under, you know, ethical means, the regulation, if I'm not mistaken, constrained it to a one power. They didn't want, you know, 3 power, 3x10 or 3x9 or additional power, because it was already at that time with the configuration of muzzle loaders. That being said, muzzleloader technology has improved with the use of sabots and improved powder and improved ballistics. I just say this, we probably should take that conversation into offline, talk through the interest of the groups that Roy's representing and try to navigate that space so we can clearly understand it. And if there's anything, then we can possibly consider for future. I think we just need to kind of get our arms around it to better understand it. Look, there's been improvements in technology, so we should be at least looking at it.
Great.
Okay, so I would also like to include the crossbow as well.
Yeah, crossbow technology is improved also. So that could be part of the conversation.
Okay, great. I appreciate that.
Thanks. I think Roy wants to pipe back in here. Roy, go ahead. Yeah, Roy, you're on. Roy?
Can you hear me, President Sklar?
Yes, we can. Please go ahead briefly.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, sir. Stafford pretty much summed it up perfectly. And I may have been unclear the first time. It's just to make the request is to make archery consistent with muzzle loaders. And there's a fine line where we need to all meet together and define, are we still looking at these equipments as primitive means of take? Because the advancements, you know, they're truly not as primitive as they used to be, unless we want to go all the way back there. There's some states that say, you know, muzzle loader has to be a muzzle loader only, open sights, none of this new stuff in line and so forth. So I think that'd be a really good open discussion we could have here or, you know, a sidebar all of itself. But yeah, you, Stafford summed up very well is that this is, there's so many advancements in muzzle loading that they're truly not a primitive means of take as they used to be. So, but we're just looking, the archery folks are just looking for consistency between what we're doing with muzzle loaders applied to the crossbow. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, Commissioner Burns, again, any other further comments or thoughts?
No.
Okay, great. There we go. So we're on to item number 5, which is bullfrogs and non-native turtles. Ari, please.
Okay, so this item is to present an update on the implementation of the bullfrog and non-native turtle stakeholder engagement plan. The agency team, which had been on a hiatus for a little while, met in April, despite the stay-at-home orders and the need to have a distributed meeting. We were able to meet in April and made some significant progress in extending their situation analysis, and we were fortunate enough to be joined by a fish disease biologist from the department, and that helped out greatly. It helped some of the outstanding questions that the team had, and we were able to move forward on a lot of issues there. So that was a successful meeting. We did increase our outreach to importers to the live animal markets. And I'm pleased to say that just yesterday I was contacted by one of the importers who is willing to be part of the team and to work as part of the industry group. And that's a real success, and we're really happy and thank that individual. We are hoping, we sent letters to several importers and are still hoping to hear from some and maybe get some more participation. But that sector being represented allows us to start the first meetings of the industry group. And so staff is currently figuring out a time, getting back in touch with folks that have been on hold for a while and indicated for some time that they were willing to be part of that industry group. So we're anxious to get that group up and running. And once that group meets, all three groups, that's the agency group, the environmental and animal welfare group, and the industry group, will have met, and we will be implementing our legislative strategy at that time and starting outreach to legislators and state legislative committees to inform them what the commission is doing and get some input from them and have a dialogue there. The last thing I'll mention is that the environmental and animal welfare group indicated they've made some pretty amazing progress and are nearing the final steps of their process and have indicated that they would like to take a short hiatus themselves and wait for some of the other groups to catch up. And we appreciate that so that staff can devote the time to the two groups remaining that that are still moving forward. So all that being said, we think we're making some great progress. Once the industry group meets and we get a feel for them and their expectations and availabilities, we're hoping to come to the commission with a proposed new timeline and schedule to the June meeting and sort of vet that with the full commission.
Great, thanks.
That's about all I have for that.
Terrific, Ari. Any members of the public want to speak to this topic? Please raise your hand right now. Yes, Ms. Jarabak. Please unmute your mic, James.
Hi there again. This is just a personal comment as someone who's lived in Del Norte County for 25 years and loves Lake Girl. So if we know of a person living on a Lake Girl tributary who is breeding bullfrogs, what can be done about that, Mr. Kornman? What can wardens visit this person? Are there any regulations for dealing with members of the public that are breeding bullfrogs?
Thank you. I'll answer that in a second, but Mark Smith is next speaker. Please go ahead, Mark.
Actually, I don't want to speak specifically on this item. What I want to say is great job on the WRC today and the Zoom calls. The progression of the way that the commission has been able to handle these remote meetings, they just keep getting better and better. This is a pretty seamless and smooth process. And I just wanted to express my appreciation and support for the staff who I know worked really hard to make sure that the original issues with remote participation did not re-raise their head. So thank you so much.
Great. Thank you for commenting that, Mark. The staff has worked at the department and the commission have worked very hard to make this work. We've tried different technologies. This one seems to be working particularly well for this kind of dialogue that we're having that we like to have under WRC. I know we're thinking about adding video next time. I don't know that that's necessary, or we'll talk about that, but I think that what we're doing now works really well. And so thank you for that comment, Mark. It's nice for the staff to hear that. And get a compliment for the hard work they've been doing.
While my line is still open, if I could suggest, I think the video would be helpful. It's nice to see the members of the commission, but again, I totally defer to you.
Thanks, Mark. I want to go back to Ari to answer the question, and then real briefly on the frog issue, and maybe Stafford if he right after that. Ari.
Oops, sorry, I was on mute. I don't know that I necessarily have a specific comment on that.
Staff the department. Maybe Stafford has an idea on it. Stafford, go ahead, please. Let's unmute Stafford. There you go, Stafford.
Yes, President Sklar, Commissioner Burns. I just recommend to Ms. Jarabak, if you could send us a note, please, with what your concerns are. You can send it to myself by email, and we can look into it. If they are commercially raising bullfrogs and breeding them, they need a aquaculture permit from the department. So that's the question I have is, you know, we'd need to investigate it and look into it. But
okay, Stafford, so will you reach out to Ms. Jarabak to see if She can identify who it is, and then you can look into it.
Yeah, and I just want to touch upon President Sklar, Commissioner Burns. Right now, there is a heightened sensitivity and focus around diseases that can be transmitted through animals into the wild. I spoke earlier about some of the novel pathogens. We've heard exhaustive public comments today about TAHD and other things. And this particular issue of bullfrogs and turtles, it is the same issue that we've been talking about with wildlife diseases. And we identified this issue in our report that we presented to the commission back in 2014-ish, regarding, you know, the problems with importations of bullfrogs and being propagule pressure. Jargon, I get it. But anyways, I just want to bring it up that we need to be really focusing on this issue. It's not going to go away. There's national attention on this, and I just put it into that context. To Mr. Morbeck, please go ahead and get a hold of our CalTIP line, and that can we can get you hooked up there.
Great. Thank you. Really appreciate it, Stafford and Ms. Jarabek. Please do be in touch with that. Okay, we're on. I don't see any more comments on this one. We're on to item number six, which is future agenda items. Please, Ari, go ahead.
So the next, the items on the agenda for the next WRC meeting, which is again in September of 2020, currently scheduled for Sacramento. We have recommendations, potential recommendations for the annual and periodic regulatory packages that we discussed today, including sport fishing, mammal hunting, waterfowl, Central Valley salmon sport fishing, and Klamath River Basin sport fishing. We'll also be doing initial vetting for upland game birds at that time. And we will get another update on the American Bullfrog and Non-Native Turtle Stakeholder Engagement Project. And that is what is currently up for the September 2020 meeting.
Terrific, Ari. Thank you. I'm going to invite anybody from the public or any staff who wants to comment on anything that's happened in the meeting so far or that they want to bring up. One last chance to make comment before we move on, and then I'll ask Commissioner Burns if he has any questions or comments. I see that Mrs. Jarabek has a comment. Please go ahead, Mrs. Jarabek. As soon as we wait 1 second, we'll unmute you. Okay, you're free to go. Go ahead, please.
Thank you very much for one more. This has worked really well. The audio is very high quality. I really appreciate this. We all really appreciate this opportunity, and I would encourage you to add the video. I have recently attended a reunion on Zoom of 50 plus people, and it worked just fine. And it would be lovely to be able to see each other when we're talking. And thank you so much. I hope you all stay well and healthy.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. And so with that, Commissioner Burns, do you have any final comments or questions?
Yeah, I'd just like to thank our staff, as well as the department staff, for yet another job well done. And I do understand how busy everyone is, and the social distancing and working remote even adds additional problems at times. So again, job well done, and I really appreciate everything that you've done for the stakeholders. And I'd like to also thank all the stakeholders who participated today as well.
Commissioner Burns, perfect. I just want to, you know, say ditto. Everything you said is perfect, and I agree with fully. I want to thank everybody for participating, the staff of the departments and the commission. You know, we're making things work, not just okay, but well in these difficult circumstances. And I'm super proud of both the commission and the department for all that we're doing to make sure that the process continues and we don't miss a beat. Just want to, as always, let everybody know when our next meetings are. The next Fish and Game Commission meeting is June 24th and 25th. It's scheduled for Santa Ana. Most likely will be another video webinar and teleconference. The next Marine Resources Committee meeting is on July 29th, planned for San Clemente. We'll see whether it's live or not. There's a tribal meeting on August 8th in Fortuna, followed on the 19th and 20th of August by a full commission meeting also in Fortuna. With that, I want to thank everybody again, and I wish everybody well and stay safe. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much.